Charles Darwin's theory of evolution explains a lot about human nature. How competitive we are, how quick to seize the advantage, how selfish we can be. But if evolution is a game called survival of the fittest, how do you explain altruism? Now, the answer to that question lies in a mathematical theorem. It's called the altruism equation, and it was discovered by a remarkable man named George Price. He was a brilliant maverick who worked in multiple scientific fields, but in his later life he gave all his possessions away to the poor, became homeless, and eventually committed suicide. Orrin Harmon tells the story in a biography called The Price of Altruism. He told Steve Paulson that George Price wanted to know why, if it really is a dog-eat-dog world, people help each other.
This was a very serious conundrum. It was a problem. And Darwin said, if I cannot solve this problem, my theory is worthless. And ever since Darwin, different kinds of scientists, geneticists, mathematical population biologists, ecologists, behavioral scientists, economists, psychologists, and so forth, have been trying to crack this problem.
Yeah. Well, let's bring a fascinating character into the story, and you have written a book about him, George Price, a mathematician. Tell me how he figures into this story.
Well, George is really a cinematic character. He's kind of a cross between a Forrest Gump and a Rain Man. Born in New York City in 1922, killed himself in a squat in London, the winter of 1975. And he's a Forrest Gump character because he found himself sort of at the center of multiple revolutions, scientific and technological revolutions in the 20th century. In each case, solving some problem and then disappearing like a phantom. People didn't really always know who he was because he didn't stick around long enough to be known. So he worked at the Manhattan Project as a chemist working on uranium enrichment at the University of Chicago, then made a 90-degree turn and began working at Bell Labs with people like Shockley and Bardeen on transistor research, then left that and turned to oncology, to cancer research, developing ways to detect cancer tumors at the University of Minnesota. Then left that completely, moved to the village, was doing a lot of drugs. While he was doing a lot of drugs, invented what later became known as computer-aided design, which is the ability to manipulate a three-dimensional object on a computer screen. So in each case, doing something really quite extraordinary, and then completely abandoning what he had done for a different pasture.
So how did he get into the study of altruism?
What happened was when he was working in Poughkeepsie at IBM, he developed a thyroid cancer and underwent an operation which was successful, or semi-successful, successful in the sense that it got rid of the cancer, but left him kind of with a shoulder and an arm which weren't entirely sort of kinetic. And it really threw him into a great depression. So much so that he came to the realization that really life was not worth living anymore. Now, by this time, he'd already abandoned his family. He left his wife and two little daughters, Anna Marie and Kathleen, who were about 4 and 5 when he left them back in Minnesota. And he decided that he was not only going to totally abandon his family, but he was going to leave his job, leave his country, and have a crack at one last great sort of problem before leaving this world. And the problem that he chose was, funnily enough, the evolution of family.
Someone who has just abandoned his own family.
Right. I mean, George, having abandoned his family, decided that what he really wanted to figure out was how family had come about as a unit in evolution. And so, against the good wishes of all of his friends, he got on a boat and sailed across the Atlantic to England. This is November 1967. And from some of the money that he had from the insurance from the botched operation, took an apartment close to Oxford Circus in London and began reading the relevant papers, technical papers, in the evolutionary literature in the late opening public libraries of London, 13 of them. So he was sort of like a, you know, he went to one library until he was kicked out, went to another and so forth. Complete outsider. No one knew him. As I said, he was very, very down in the doldrums, depressed, hardly left his home except for to go to the library. And he came across a paper, the famous paper, written by Bill Hamilton, the father of the notion of kin selection. and decided that, looked at the mathematics. Now, he really didn't understand it to begin with, because as brilliant as George was, he hadn't trained either as a mathematician or as a biologist. He had no training in evolutionary theory. But he sensed that the important person in the field was this guy Hamilton. And so he wrote him a letter saying, "Hello, I'd like to introduce myself. My name is George Price, and I've come to solve the problem that you're working on." And Hamilton, who was on his way to the jungles of Brazil to study social wasps, was an English gentleman and had no idea who this American, this strange American was, but wrote back saying, you know, "Good luck. Here's a reprint, and I wish you the best of luck." And about 5 months later, when Hamilton returned to London, he found on his desk what became known as the Price equation, and almost immediately recognized that this was a very, very important mathematical equation when it came to the evolution of altruism. Now, a month earlier, when George had written the equation, he too sensed immediately that this was an important equation.
So what was the Price equation?
Right. So what the equation basically did, it was a rewriting of Hamilton's mathematics. Hamilton claimed that altruism could only evolve between genetically related individuals. What George's equation showed was that that wasn't true, that it could evolve between like-minded, so to speak, individuals that needn't be genetically related to one another. In other words, it could evolve by association rather than by genetic relatedness. So this was the equation. It was actually very, very short. It's a very short and beautiful mathematical tautology. It's a theorem. It's always true. And George immediately recognized this and walked off the street, as I said, a complete outsider, into the biostatistics department at University College London and asked for the professor. Knocked on his door, again, said, "Hello, I'm George Price. Have a look at this equation. Is it new?" And within about a matter of minutes, he was given keys to an office and an honorary professorship at what was then one of the best genetics centers in the world. So very unusual. And then he went home, George did, and began thinking about what had just happened. And like I said before, he was sort of a Rain Man character, meaning that he was probably somewhere on the spectrum, the autism spectrum, a very, very high-functioning autist, perhaps. And numbers meant a lot to him. He was very numerical. He thought of this sort of miraculous equation as a kind of coincidence. It seemed to him very strange that of all the great minds ever since Darwin, he, of all people, should have come up with this equation, because he, you know, he came out of nowhere. He had no training. And so he began to think of other coincidences that had happened to him in his life, and he multiplied them. Very strange coincidences, by the way. Things like he'd had four girlfriends whose name was Anne. Or the last four digits of his phone number were 2399, which to him signified a moment before midnight, a moment before kingdom come. And the number he came up with was astronomical, 1 divided by 10 to the 30th, meaning that the chance that all these coincidences should have happened to him was minuscule, and yet they all had happened to him. And so, being a rationalist, he did the only thing that he rationally thought he could do, which was to run out of his apartment on Little Titchfield Street directly into the church at All Souls at Langham, and on the spot became an evangelical Christian, having concluded that he must have been chosen by God, because of the numbers, to tell some great truth to humanity, namely, where kindness had come from.
Wow. This has to be one of the strangest stories of religious conversion I've ever heard.
You know, it's actually interesting. When I was researching this book, I found out that, in fact, this is quite a well-trodden path to religious enlightenment, where complete skeptics are drawn to God via sort of probability arguments and numbers. But of course, most people who undergo this kind of conversion are not as unusual as George, because George did some pretty unusual things in his life.
Well, and then the story takes a more tragic turn. He ended up giving away all of his possessions, essentially lived the life of a derelict. I mean, here's this man who was obviously brilliant, had just been given this professorship at one of the top universities in the world, and ended up living on the street.
Well, what happened was that after the conversion, George began to think philosophically about the equation. And the way he thought about this, and this, it's important to say that his conclusion was not necessarily a logical conclusion, but he thought that if he was able to write a mathematical equation that explains something like the origin of kindness or the origin of altruism. What it meant about kindness or altruism was that, in fact, they were never pure and genuine. In other words, there was always some interest behind the action which was responsible for the evolution of the action.
Always some self-interest.
Exactly. So basically that kindness is, in fact, always a form of disguised self-interest. Now, this was a terrible realization for a Christian, because what it meant was that the best the natural process could do was a kind of, you know, second-rate kindness, second-rate altruism, not a real, pure, genuine one in the form of the kind of love that Jesus preached for. And so George wasn't going to take this lying down. In fact, he decided that he was going to show via his own actions that his own mathematics, the kind of miraculous mathematics that he himself had described, could be transcended by the human spirit. In other words, that the human spirit could transcend the natural process and really come up with true, genuine kindness, even though the evolutionary process couldn't do it on its own. And so he began a program of radical altruism, the end of which was to give away everything, to be truly, genuinely selfless. And so it began sort of slowly by going out to the homeless derelicts of London, introducing himself, "Hi, my name is George, how can I help you? Here's a pound, here's 5 pounds, here's a sandwich." And then it graduated quite quickly to something more radical. They were living in his home, and he was literally giving them money, giving away everything that he had. And at one point, there's a letter that I found in the archive where he writes to John Maynard Smith, a great evolutionist of the age, "John, I'm down to my last 15p, and I can't wait to give it away." Because what it meant to George was that he was succeeding. His actions were proving that the mathematics could be beaten down, that they could be transcended.
It's almost as if, yeah, as if he wanted to transcend his own equation, his own solution to the altruism
That's
problem.
Right. That's right. And of course, you can figure out what the end will be. I mean, in this sense, it really is a tragedy. You can't really stop it, because he lost everything, gave away everything, and became a vagabond himself, just like one of the vagabonds that he had set out to save. And so at one point, he had to leave his home, began living rough in the streets at Euston Square in the train station, in different squats, was down to skin and bones. And George took his life in a very gruesome fashion with a pair of scissors to his carotid artery in a squat in Kentish Town in the beginning of January 1975.
Let me come back to that question that George Price posed. Can kindness ever be pure?
I think that it's not really that important what the motivation behind an act of kindness is. I mean, it's interesting, but focusing on that may not be where we should be focusing. Maybe we should return to the biological definition and focus on the result. You know, if a lot of people did a lot of good things towards others, the world would be a better place, and it wouldn't really matter all that much whether they did it for reasons that had to do with their own well-being or for their own self-interest. When Bill Gates decides to give away half of his money, I don't really care why he did it. To be written into the history books so that he could feel good about himself for reasons of respect and self-aggrandizement, it doesn't really matter. What matters is where that money goes to do good in the world towards others. I think that in a sense, George teaches us that lesson because of his grim ending. He failed to understand that and paid a price. But we can look at his life and learn from it.
Orrin Harmon's the author of The Price of Altruism, George Price, and The Search for the Origins of Kindness. Steve Paulson spoke with him.